Welcome to Sports Mad Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had three posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post described a study where the authors reported that four treatment strategies for chronic symptoms after a mild traumatic brain injury improved symptoms. However, those with therapist-directed cognitive rehabilitation demonstrated superior improvements in functional cognitive scores compared with standard of care and computer-based rehabilitation. Next, we had a post on a study where the authors reported that individuals with chronic ankle instability have higher preactivation of the peroneus longus and gluteus maximus compared with controls. A functional fatigue protocol affected both groups similarly. Finally, the third post reported on a study where the authors found that the Traumatic Injuries Distress Scale may be a short, 12-item tool to assess early risk for persistent symptoms after an acute musculoskeletal injury. If we take a closer look at that second post, we find that the authors found that individuals with chronic ankle instability had higher peroneus longus and gluteus maximus activation immediately before landing during a lateral hop compared with the controls. After the fatigue protocol, both groups had higher tibialis anterior activation than before being fatigued. The authors found no other differences between groups. The findings of this study are interesting because it shows that physically active individuals with chronic ankle instability are pre-activating muscles differently than healthy controls to try and protect the previously injured joint in preparation for landing. However, it remains unclear if participants with chronic ankle instability had these activation patterns prior to developing their chronic ankle instability, or if the activation patterns developed as a result of the injury and subsequent chronic ankle instability. It would be interesting to see what the muscle activity was in the contralateral or a healthy limb. While the activation of the peroneus longus is an obvious protective mechanism for preventing inversion during landing, the higher activation of the gluteus maximus seems a little less intuitive. The authors speculate that a person with chronic ankle instability will activate the gluteus maximus in an effort to prevent femoral internal rotation, which would stress the ankle joint. As clinicians, we need to ensure that our rehabilitation program addresses joints further up the kinetic chain, as there are obvious changes at the hip. The fatigue protocol was functional and activity-specific with running and cutting. However, it did not have much of an effect. But despite that, the tibialis anterior activity did increase in both groups post-fatigue before and after ground contact. Clinicians should address this during the rehabilitation process with endurance training of the tibialis anterior so that we can delay fatigue. While the fatigue protocol was relatively standardized, it would have been interesting to see if heart rate could have been monitored to give an objective measure of effort or if linear activity would have resulted in similar effects. Clinically, we need to remember to address the entire kinetic chain. Furthermore, we may want to consider rehabilitating under fatigued states to replicate return to sport activities. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, our most popular post was a research paper where the authors reported that a sleeper stretch program for high school baseball pitchers can accelerate the recovery of commonly observed internal rotation loss and also may mitigate the cumulative effect observed over the course of a season. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our four online courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the posts, and the article I just described on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.